Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 2017 annual results conference call for Neinor Homes. The presentation today will consist of the following. Our CEO, Juan Velaíos, will present the results for the full year 2017, as well as the outlook for the business. In between, our CFO, Jordi Argemí, will present the financial overview of the period in detail. The team presentation will be followed by a questions and answer session. In order to organize and answer all of your questions, there will be a silent period of around 3 minutes between the end of the presentation and the start of the Q&A. At any time during the presentation, I invite you to send your questions through the Submit a Question to the Presenter window in the webcast application. I also remind you that this webcast is being recorded and will be available within the next 2 days for replay for 12 months. Additionally, within the next week, a transcript of this presentation will be also available for you to download. Juan, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for attending the call. I'm going to try to follow, in a quite disciplined manner, the agenda and all the highlights that I think that we want to remark today. I know perfectly, we have had a number of calls of some of you during the morning. We have had an initial negative reaction to the results that we have presented. I will zoom in, and hopefully, I will be able to explain, as we have always done, very transparently, each and every matter that has concerned you. Hopefully, we will be able to give you comfort during this call. I will please ask you that let me go through the presentation and the details in a quite disciplined manner, knowing that I will stop with a long detail and attend all the questions regarding this ramp-up, initial reaction that you have had to the deliveries during the ramp-up. I begin with the presentation, and whenever I arrive there, I will stop, and I will explain with further detail. Let me give you just an overview of the 2017 outperformance that has been good, has been very good, I would say. The macro environment, it's supporting us. The GDP, it's still growing, the unemployment is still going down, and we are still with a very clear imbalance between supply and demand. The existing demand still needs that additionally 70,000 units are in the supply side. We have finished the year with  80,000. We are still a long way from the balancing between supply and demand. The macro is supportive. I will stop a second there. We have an exceptional land bank. It's 12,500 units. It's 166 land plots ready to build, and we have been able to buy, during 2017, 286 million euros. This is 3,500 units, all of them acquired with gross margins above the targets that we have always mentioned during the IPO and during our meetings afterwards. Launching activity. This is going to be one of the focus of today, and I'm going to try to explain you with detail. The company today has 8,300 units up and running. This number, it's above the number of aggregate deliveries that we committed during the IPO. We are, this is the number at January 2018, that means 3 years before 2020 year-end. The company has done an extraordinary effort to launch new sites, 5,500 during the year. Another highlight, I would say, is that two-thirds of our land bank, this is aligned with our strategy of ROCE optimization, it's already up and running. The 2020 run rate, it's in principle secured. Not in principle, it is secured. Under construction, the company has 2,400 units going on. We have been able to have 800 units during the year, and the operational team is excellently executing. All of the land plots under construction with cranes have a reported gross margin of 28%. above the numbers set and are all on track, on time, and on cost. I will detail on that. The point that we will discuss is how it's going to be the road to run rate, and I will go zoom in a few minutes. Our pre-sales book, it's 746 million euros. We have been able to sell 2,200 units during this year. This provides us very huge visibility. 2017 has been 40% higher pre-sales than 2016, has been 1,300 units, and has been 459 million. Embedded margin. We will dedicate some time to embedded margin just to let you know some and address some of your concerns. The company has been able to capture 3.9% extra revenue against our business plan. As we have mentioned in other calls and in different meetings with you, you will see that we have tried to make an effort to distinguish what's the extra revenue that we are capturing, what's the extra margin that we are capturing, and how we see the HPA in a technical, theoretical point of view. But the extra margin, that is the consequence of the revenue and how we are dealing with the costs, net of cost, is 3%. It's 11 million above our, and this is direct impact to EBITDA. We have begun to deliver. This year we have delivered 313 units. Still not a lot, but more than expected. We have anticipated two deliveries, and the gross margins of these reported deliveries are above than the one expected in our initial numbers. We have done a tremendous effort in connection with our ancillary businesses. You remember, it's not significant at all, but you remember that the 650 million, just there we have 85 million remaining legacy. During the year, we have been able to sell 126 million euros. And our contract with Cuchabank, it's under perfect execution. We have 18.5 million of EBITDA, 60% plus margin, and with a very solid relationship with the bank. The financials, Jordi will jump in and will zoom in, but we have a positive adjusted EBITDA, a little bit higher than expected. It's 8.3 million, and we will visit a second our NAV, that has been always one of the drivers for your numbers and your comparisons with peers. The NAV of the company has increased an 8%, with still very disciplined LTV margins of 22%. Let me go very quickly through these points, and not that quickly about the point that has concerned you this morning. Macro, I will only emphasize two comments. Mortgages are out there, still far away from the peak, and with each and every Spanish commercial bank with clear willingness to continue granting mortgages to our clients and with clear willingness to continue financing our CapEx. The number of transactions in Spain keeps growing, and the number of new homes against the total number of sales keeps growing. 17% of the whole transactions have already been new homes. There is still room, there is still clear, very solid demand, not only the regions where we are now, but we are identifying clear demand in other regions. Positive, clear, positive macro environment. Regarding our land bank, you have a plan of Spain in front of you. You see the consistency of our acquisitions during the year on a Q per Q basis. I have just mentioned the number, 12,500 units and 3,100 units during the year. We still are seeing very solid pipelines. This company is today working on 500 million of potential acquisitions, and we are working very hard, close to potential disclosure of the first deals in the strategic land. Let me explain very clear what means for Neinor Homes strategic land. It's the Anglo-Saxon way of seeing it. We are closing a number of deals with different potential sellers that allow us to control the land plots that will only be delivered to us when they are fully permitted. Just to take that right, we are deploying very limited equity in the range of 10%. And in the case that that land plot at the end of the day is not fully permitted, we have the warranties in connection with those amounts. So if hopefully we are able to close these deals, this will be fully consistent with what we have been explaining since day zero. The day Spain is ready for a strategic land, as it is understood in the Anglo-Saxon markets, Neinor will be there. These lands are fully consistent and aligned with our regions, exceptional land plots, with no political risk, just timing risk, and I emphasize the concept. We will only buy them when they are fully permitted. Hopefully, we will be able to come with great news within the following weeks and months. 1 minute to the NAV. Our NAV has increased an 8% since IPO. If we see the numbers after the turbulences in the market and even the turbulences of today, do the numbers of how we are trading today in connection with this revisited NAV of 1,300 or 1.3 billion. On a like-for-like basis, comparing apples to apples, the land bank that we had at the IPO has been revalued in a 19%. Why? Because a significant part of this land, two-thirds of it, is already up and running, so that the valuator has real numbers at what price we are pre-selling. Why? Because we are investing capex on it. And why? Because the discount rate that the valuators are applying to those lands that have visibility on pre-sales and visibility on capex is lower in sometimes to the one applied at the IPO. As an average, it's still at 10%, but here we have a 19% revaluation on a like-for-like basis. And the other concept, I think that's important also, is in our 2017 acquisitions. Our 2017 acquisitions, the valuation, the external valuation, brings an 11% upside to the prices paid. To say why, I would recommend that you look at the appendix with the assumptions that the valuators are taking into consideration for these numbers, and you will see that they are more than reasonable. The rationale behind this increase still is the one that we have emphasized a number of times. Equity is the clear entry barrier. We have been able to buy portfolios with significant tickets, and we have a very strong origination and execution capacity. The consequence of that is still that we are able to control a number of off-market natural transactions with those non-natural sellers. Let's go now to the point that I want to dedicate some minutes, and hopefully I will be able to give some comfort to you. And obviously, I'm at your disposal today with the questions afterwards, and I will be on the road because I want to generate all the confidence in you about the credibility and capacity of execution of this company. This company today has 8,300 units going on, launch, more than the units committed in the IPO. The effort that this company has done for those purposes has been very high, and the operational capacity of this team to make it happen, by the way, much stronger than at the time of the IPO. These 8,300 units, in a very transparent manner, as we have always said you, I want to share with you how deliveries will come. How deliveries will come under the assumptions of 313 units that we will speak in a second about deliveries, and the guidance that you had at the time of the IPO. We are seeing today all the deliveries for 2018, obviously, are under construction and are in advanced construction. Each and every land that we were seeing at the IPO that should be delivered in 18, except for one in Marbella, La Cañada, 45 units, it's going on. It's up and running. And our target is to deliver it on time. This is 1,200 units on all around. We have set in this paper circa 1,000. Why? Because I know that these deliveries will come in Q4, some of them. I know that facing municipalities today, just to obtain the final certificate that will allow me to go to the notary, is challenging, and I want to be tremendously transparent with you. There is no operational risk. The constructions and the operational team is doing an exceptional job. I will discuss now in embedded margins. It's up and running, but it could be Q4 or it could be Q1. It's just a cut-off day challenge. It's our job to make it happen. This is what we are doing, but this company is going to be tremendously transparent, although it can have the impact that it has had today. So 2018 is on track. Or this is as I'm seeing it, as a CEO of this company. 2019, if you take the guidance of the 3,000, yes, it's not going to be the case. We have in front of us a number of things that are making us being prudent about what's going to be the number of deliveries in 2019. Let me go through them. The more important one is licensing. The times that we need to obtain the licenses in a number of municipalities of Spain. Our assumption is 6 months. In a number of municipalities in Spain, we are being able to make it happen. In other municipalities of Spain, we are not being able to make it happen in 6 months. Why? Because those municipalities, you can imagine that are the municipalities that a significant part of the 80,000 units that are being under construction are there, and the municipalities, it's being hard for them to adapt to the new situation. If these licenses take 9 to 12 months, and a number of them are 12 months, are deliveries that will go from the 19 to the 20. In addition to that, because it's not only that, we, and this is a CEO decision, we are protecting your margin. In some of the design phase of these projects, we have seen deviations regarding costs when the project has come to us. Our decision has been to redefine these projects just to be on cost. Sometimes this redesigning is taking a number of months. It does not concern me. It's for protecting margin, and the market in this sense is helping us. So this conservative facing, I think that has extra value for the company and for investors. We are again with the cut of day. The combination of licensing and the combination of this redesigning, because we want to redesign just to be on cost and to protect our margins, is bringing that we see a more conservative facing during the ramp up. This is what we are mentioning, this circa 1,000. We are working for a number in the range of 1,200, I have said, but a number of them could be on January, February, and Q1 rather than in Q4. We are working with that guidance of 2,000 in 2019, and we are working with a guidance of 4,000 in 2020 that will be higher. But we want to revisit the guidance. The company, this is not a market problem. The market is supporting us. This is not an operational problem. The team is much stronger than it used to be at the beginning of the year. It's just a cut of the issue from a very transparent company that wants to share with you our day-to-day concerns. By the way, this is 3 years from now, and this business with the municipalities, yes, we need to manage, and I think that I have tried to disclose to you many times in many manners that we need to manage these 6 months delays because of the characteristics of this business. The third consequence of that, and it's not a way of trying to cover one thing with the other, is that you have been asking for the guidance, for the run rate guidance. The company, operationally, has the strength and the capacity to be in 4,000 units per year, and it's going to be the case, for sure, in 2020, that is the run rate that we have been always have committed. This is the rationale behind this conservative facing ramp up. We do think that we protect margin. We do think that from a valuation perspective, the company is exactly the same or even stronger. And I hope that we as a company are able to maintain your credibility. And I do take my responsibility regarding that, obviously, regarding that vision on facing that you have had. Units under construction. We have 2,400 units under construction. In Q1 2018, hopefully no, because it's already happening, 600 of new units have already arrived or are arriving as we speak. This is 36 sites. Operationally speaking, the company, we will see that in a minute, in the embedded margins, are on track, on time, and on budget. In a momentum that it's true, and we will discuss in a second, that the cost pressure for the cost inflation is giving headaches to our operational teams, our operational team is doing an exceptional job. Each and every site is on track with a 28% reported WIP gross margin. Let's go a second to pre-sales. And we have tried to do a number of exercises in connection to pre-sales to try to improve the quality of the information that you take into consideration for your numbers. We have had a very strong year from a commercial point of view. Our sales have been 460 million. This has been 40%, 39% higher than 2016. The average sales price is 40,000 euros. And the visibility of our book is every time stronger. 80% of the pre-sales of 18 are already done. 60% of the pre-sales of 19 are already done. The number of cancellations we will discuss now in the front of Catalonia, still very healthy, sometimes even forced by us, because they are supporting and helping us a lot. Catalonia, honestly speaking, is not concerning us. I'm going to give you a number that probably will give you comfort. Maybe it's too soon. I think that we need to continue monitoring very closely Catalonia. But Catalonia, the number of leads in October, November of 2017 dropped, I would say, significantly. Significantly means 10, if you want to be very dramatic, 15%. In December, January this year, the number of leads is absolutely aligned with the leads that we have last year. And the health of the developments that we are now launching in Catalonia give us a lot of comfort. In 2017, 40% of our full pre-sales were in Catalonia. We are continuously in Catalonia as a very significant and strong market for Neinor, and we are targeting land acquisitions there. Two more comments in connection with pre-sales book prior to go to the HPA concept. We begin this year with 51 different sites under commercialization. Of these 51 sites under commercialization, if you go to your graph in your right top down, you see that the visibility of pre-sales in the center, east, and north is tremendously high. And in the south, it's a little bit below, it's on 40% because that's launched later on. But during this year, this company will have 45 new sites going to the market, very well split between regions. And we will explain at the end of this presentation about the challenges and the concerns, but we have a very strong visibility of how quick the product that it's going to the market. This is one of the privileges of our first mover advantage. This company has 90 sites going on, and this company will have almost 190 sites under commercialization during this year. This is very strong and gives us a lot of solid first mover advantage in our opinion. HPA. Let me dedicate a second to the HPA. We have tried to do an exercise and we have dedicated time to that just to try to give you some good guidance about the numbers that we all know that you are working with in connection with the HPA. We have tried to split the HPA in two concepts. One concept is not HPA. It's basically extra revenue or extra margin that we capture against our BP. This has nothing to do with HPA because in our assumptions, in our BP, in most of the cases, we capture all the HPA when we kick off the development. And this probably has been confusing when we use these words. Afterwards, we have done an exercise. It's the first time our idea, if it helps you, is to monitor it hereinafter, just to discuss real HPA. Let's begin with extra revenue and extra margin. Our extra revenue is 3.9%. The revenue that we have been able to capture above our assumptions in our BP is 3.9. You remember that the assumption that we had in the IPO was 0.9. So there is a 3% extra margin. Second assumption. Now let's discuss margin, not revenue. In revenue, this means 17.3 million additional revenue. If we go to margin, our construction cost inflation, at the end of the day, you remember, was 1.5%. At the end of the day, with this designing that I was mentioning before, redesigning, we have been able to be each and every plot under the assumptions of our BP, for with a 1% down, 5 million. This is the construction cost aligned to each and every unit that is captured in the HPA to compare apples with apples. So the 3.9 minus the 1%, we have an extra margin that should be an impact in our EBITDA of 3% plus. I hope this number helps. Two additional comments. The gross margin of our land bank, you see our graph in the left, down, very consistent and above the IPO targets. The Cuchabank portfolio, our original portfolio, has a gross margin of 30%. All the acquisitions prior to the IPO, it's at 29%. All the acquisitions of 2017 is at 27%. The guidance that we gave you in the IPO was 24%. And the last concept regarding HPA. I would like to emphasize that this is still an initial exercise because we have been able to give you apples to apples exercise in 7 different sites. Here we try to compare the price of a home at January 2017 against the price of the same home in December 2017. with real sales. Exactly the same characteristics for the apartment. The sample is still small, 7, but hopefully we will report it if it helps you. North, 5.5%. Center, 11%. East, 10.8%. South, 6.9%. The blended 8.5% captured HPA in 2017 with a this very limited sample. Each and every site that is going to the market in 18, we will try to disclose you on a quarterly basis. Hopefully that data will help you. Deliveries, slide 13. We have captured 76.6 revenues. We have anticipated two sites. On track, the gross margin, the one reported. We have done our first deliveries that I would say that are 100% Neinor homes. Based on white paper number 1, we are in white paper number 11. Happy with the deliveries of 2017, still very soon to say nothing, but this company has the execution capacity and the operational capacity to make it happen. 1 second to the ancillary businesses prior to go to Jordi, and afterwards to come with the challenges and your most often questions. You remember our ancillary businesses, legacy. We have sold during the year 126 million. You remember that we told you that it was going to be liquidated during 17-18. Afterwards, we will explain about these challenges. 126% are not already with us. You remember the initial number was 650 million. Only 85 million of book value remaining with us, and just focused on finishing this business line. The servicing contract, by the way, when I have been speaking about the NAV of this company and about how we are trading today, I have said a single word about this, about the servicing. Whatever value, it's on top of the numbers that I have just mentioned. Very solid contract. You remember it's until 2022, 18.5 EBITDA, 60% margin, and even more important than that, with an extraordinary relationship with CaixaBank, that it's an exceptional bank. Jordi, if you go to the financials, I will afterwards go to the challenges.
Excellent. Thank you, Juan. As in every single webcast, I will cover the three financial statements, P&L, cash flow, and balance sheet. And then I will zoom into the net debt position for the year end. Key messages in the P&L statement. We have closed the year with revenues of 225 million euros. Legacy represents 126 million euros if we consider the 12 million euros of sales of non-current assets. As Juan has just commented, this 126 million euros means the disposal of roughly 60% of the total portfolio at the beginning of 2017. So we have recorded solid sales during this year with a positive gross margin. We do keep the target of full disposal by this year, 2018. But we should be prudent with the sales curve during the year and even with the pricing, given that we only have 85 million euros of assets left, so the last 15% of the portfolio acquired to CaixaBank. Servicing represents 29 million euros. And as already commented, no surprises, very stable contract. And development, our core business, good news. We have been able to anticipate again 2 deliveries with a total of 51 units that were initially planned to be delivered in 2018, and at margins slightly above expectations. Thanks to this anticipation, gross margin has increased from 24% in Q3 up to 27.2% for the full year. There has been a clear increased weight of the core business in the P&L, representing 34% over total revenues. This results to a positive EBITDA adjusted of 8.3 million euros, which is above our expectations. And finally, a voluntary impairment of 4.5 million euros on the legacy, based on the new pricing revisit, and a financial cost of 7.7 million euros, which implies a loss for the period of 4.6 million euros. Excluding this impairment, net income is zero, break-even. On top of this, and as commented in all previous webcasts, the official P&L includes 2 other concepts linked to the IPO. One is the IPO cost for a total amount of 2 million euros, and the second concept is a management incentive plan for an amount of 19 million euros. Remember that this incentive plan is fully paid by Lone Star. Moving on to the cash flow statement, critical messages. We have closed the year with a positive cash flow from operating activities of 4.5 million euros. Remember that in Q2 and Q3, it was neutral. We have invested 286 million euros in land acquisitions, exceeding the budget by 40%, and therefore securing good land at accretive margins, and 116 million euros of CapEx. This has resulted in a negative free cash flow of 176 million euros, which has been mainly financed with a primary issuance of 100 million euros and the bridge loan of JP Morgan, that at the end of 2017 was roughly 50% drawn. And last concept, positive net cash flow of 14 million euros. Regarding the balance sheet, it continues being very strong and healthy. It has not really changed since Q3. Assets of 1.3 billion euros, equity of 0.7 billion euros, and total liabilities of 0.5 billion euros. Inventories continues being the main caption with 1.1 billion euros, representing 90% over the total balance sheet. Out of this 1.1 billion euros of inventory, development represents 1 billion, and legacy, as commented, represents only 85 million euros. And we have ended the year with a strong liquidity position. This means over 100 million euros that allow us to have firepower to continue acquiring good land in this 2018. And finally, let's dip into the net debt position for the year end. We have closed with 382 million euros of net debt, below the roughly 400 million euros shown in Q3. This implies healthy leverage ratios and lower than those seen in Q3. Loan to value of 22% and loan to cost of 33%. And last comment from my side, we are and we will continue being disciplined from a leverage perspective, not only from an amount perspective, but also from a quality perspective. As of today, no single bank represents more than 20% over the pool.
Thank you, Jordi. Let's come back. I would like to now to try to address some of the milestones that we have for 18, some of the challenges that we have for 18, and also I would like to address some non-financial issues that I think that have value, but to finally with the most common questions that you are doing us once and again during our when we are on the road, and I think that hopefully we can give clear visibility of what Neinor's positions in each and every of those questions that you remark in our day-to-day meetings. Let's begin with the milestones for 2018. First, if I have to summary milestones for 2018, it's delivery, delivery, delivery. This company will show you its capacity to deliver and to execute. And we are going to say many things in the next 5 to 10 minutes, but this is about showing execution with this company that has an exceptional team and capacity to make it happen. Let's go on a line-per-line milestones that we will deliver. The company will continue buying. We are going to buy more than 200 million this year. We are revisiting our guidance to 4,000 units, we will say in a second, and that means giving a little bit more pressure to our acquisition line, but the market is out there. We are seeing a number of deals we will discuss in a second, but we will buy more than 200 million this year. We are going to do our first strategic land acquisitions, hopefully within the following weeks. I emphasize, we are not taking planning risks. We are controlling land non-fully permitted that will be transferred to Neinor whenever it is fully permitted. We think that Spain begins to be ready for that, as you perfectly are familiar with in the UK. We will continue launching. One of the lessons for the future is that we need to launch more and before. So we are going to be very disciplined in our launching, trying to anticipate them to cover this timing licensing issue that we have just discussed. We are going and we are optimizing our design to value and our design to cost to protect margins. We have 90 sites out there. We have a lot of learnings, and all those learnings, we are bringing them to the design phase to optimize our sites. We have 50 5,000 units to begin construction. Q1 is being a good queue, and now we have in top of 600 units are coming under construction already. But this is a real challenge. We can manage it partially, but we are going to manage it as much as we can. The obtention of the licenses, it's our clear bottleneck depending on these municipalities. Our 6-month visibility in a number of municipalities, 9 to 12. We are going to be able to handle it partially, but it's going to be more and more intense management. We are on the top of it, but it's a little not under full control, but I don't want to use it as an excuse. We are fully on the top of it. We are going to pre-sale 750 million. 4,500 units will be out there on the market. And we are going to continue with our strategy, what we say the tails and jewels strategy, just to capture as much HPA as we can in a market that is very supportive. There is a lot of money just playing in the right manner with the rhythms of sales. There are 1,000 plus deliveries this year. Post sales management will really begin. We are dedicating a lot of time with our Neinor experience team just to begin, because this year post sales will really begin. Margin protection. We do really think that the way of maximizing the value for you investors is through margin protection. It's execution and margin protection. Margin protection, in some cases, we have decided to redesign some of the projects just to optimize or control costs. In these cases, this has been the decision with one target in mind, margin protection. Also, this slowdown, if you want to see it in a positive manner, will allow us to capture more HPA. Full legacy disposal. We want to get rid of legacy during 2018. It's just 85, it does not change the needle, but we have said and we will get rid of it during 2018. Servicing, continue our solid relationship with this solid contract with our good friends of Cuchabán. Solid positive EBITDA, obviously, yeah, arriving in 2018, the first year of the ramp up with positive results, with a very disciplined LTV, and whenever we deem it convenient, probably thinking about a balance sheet optimization if we keep continuing the credibility and the trust of the investors of the capital markets. Challenges. What challenges we have as a company today, and which are your frequent questions? Competition. This is getting crowded. On one side, yes, we have 3 listed companies. We have another 2 colleagues herein, maybe some others coming to the capital market. More than welcome. The market is starting, consolidation is starting to happen. Equity continues being a very clear entry barrier, and I think that the big guys, those of us we are able to show delivery, I think that we are going to be able to capture significant market share. Land price inflation, it is happening, yes. So you show your concerns about it. You have seen our gross margins, no? Since 2015 to 2017, obviously, they are affected in some manner, but the market is still huge. There is still a lot of land in non-natural sellers. You have seen our 500 million pipeline. I think that there is land out there to continue buying in good conditions, and if we are able to successfully bring the strategic land, we will use it. So we think we are able to manage land price inflation in due manner because of our equity and our strength, and the number of buyers is not that much, taking into consideration the number of sellers. Transitional cost inflation. I think that this has also brought some confusion in some of your questions. We are listening to that 5% as a comment that some of you investors have asked, or you have heard, or someone in the market saying that it's a 5%. It depends. we are being able to handle it in a lower number that you have seen, with this 1.5 plus 1 in the range of 2.5%. It's pressure, it's labor shortage, it's one of our intensive ordinary cost of business management headaches. We see it transitional. We think that the market, as it's happening with the home builders, it's happening also with the construction companies, that they are adapting to the new situation. But yes, it's true. It's putting pressure today to the market. It's putting pressure today to some tenderings that forces us to redesign to be on budget. And it's one of the things that I see it more transitional than not, but yes, it's putting pressure on the market. We are managing it in due manner. We are emphasizing in our industrialization model, this is the way to face this pressure, transitional pressure. And we are working more and more with a number of framework agreements with all strategic suppliers. We are managing it. We have had this 1.5 million in all our WIPs going on. And I think that through design to value, through design to cost, and through good management, we are being able to manage it. HPA, we have heard a number of numbers going on. We see that 5%, I would say, is the number that we have been published, the one that we have set here. Different ways of seeing it. If we see it just as extra revenue to our business plan, we can see it as apples to apples. I think it's fair to see those 5% margins. By the way, taking the good discipline to adapt the rhythms of sales to the capture, to the maximum capture of the HPA. Embedded margins. We have a very solid embedded margin on our portfolio. It's that 29% gross margin. We're making it happen. We continue with the guidance of this 24% for future acquisitions. We will make it happen. How? Of market deals. This morning we have just acquired another land plot in an off-market deal. Accretive acquisitions of portfolios, just taking with equity tickets significant. And new regions, we'll continue monitoring those new regions which make sense in a very disciplined manner. But there are come new regions that make sense. On-time deliveries. Yes, we need to make it happen. We are on top of it. The operational capacity of this company is very strong. We have learned a lot of these 90 sites, and modestly speaking, this company is performing in due manner. It's going to be more conservative, the ramp up until the run rate. Yes, we think it's the best way to protect margins and to improve earnings and control costs. This will bring us to the run rate guidance of 4,000 units that in 2020 will be a fact. Each and every land is already out there, so this is not a market risk. This is not a land risk. This is not an operational or execution risk. This is a matter of making it happen, and it's just a cut off the risk that we need to manage. At the licensing time when we to begin construction, and at the licensing time, at the time of delivery, because remember that we need another authorization from the municipalities prior to being in a position to go to the notary. So we need to manage it, and it's our job, and you, the right word for you to say is make it happen, because this is why you are there for. Non-financial reporting. I want to dedicate a few seconds. I think it has value. We know that our focus is delivery, but this company is doing a number of things to be very transparent, and I think that the exercise that we are doing today is an exercise of transparency, of being fully aligned with you and very open of how we see each and every momentum in the company. So transparency is a must in Neinor. We will continue being very transparent. We think that you value that a lot, and this is a number of things that we are doing. We are certificating in BREEAM. We are obtaining energy certification A or B in each and every plot, in each and every development. We have reduced our energy consumption per capita at 14%, paperless 11%. We have two products in the market with a social view that has been very welcomed, replicated by other home builders already, is Home Protection and Mobility Pack. We have obtained the excellence, the EFQM 300 Plus, first home builder obtaining that here in Spain after the crisis, is the Global Excellence Award. We have renovated each and every ISO, and we have obtained a new one on information security management system. We are working in the digital transformation. We do really think on it. The company is already taking decisions on the basis of big data for our analysis of the land plots and for analysis of our clients. We are implementing augmented reality in our go-to-market and also artificial intelligence in our analysis of the data analysis. We are absolutely focused in BIM. This is the way of optimizing from a design phase our project. Here is where we are in the top of it to try to minimize timings. It's absolutely implemented in the design phase. We need to bring it to the construction phase and to the go-to-market. Our materials of the marketing need to come to BIM. The company is really focused on it. We have launched Neinor Next. It's not deviating the attention of anyone in the company, but we have already a number of startups just filling the gaps of a number of things that we think that have a lot of value for the company. We will have surprises here, but again, I repeat, it's not going to distract no one on the operational and the execution teams about execution. We have a very solid risk control management system. Regarding governance, risk, and the compliance is all integrated in the same system. This allows us to sleep very well. And we think that we look about each and every stakeholder. And we have 235 direct employees. We are trying to align them. They are top employees. It's one of the things that are happening in this company. It's because of these guys, and we need to take care of them. We have already created 13,000 indirect jobs in our constructions. Our incidents, we are taking a lot of care of health and safety. We are 35% below the national average in incidents. We are dedicating a lot of time to suppliers. We think that we need to revisit the way that we interact with suppliers. There is a lot of value here. We are beginning to have indexes of satisfaction from our clients, 3.2 to 4. This will begin to be significant, and we need to monitor that in very due manner, because here it's where our clients will speak about our deliveries. And we think that we have a fair and transparent relationship with you, investors, analysts, taking the risk of today's reactions. We think that is the way that we need to handle it, and we need to anticipate things as we see them, and hopefully after this call, being able to provide comfort about why we want to be so disciplined. Maybe even a little bit ingenuous, seeing the reaction that you have had to some of the things that we have been explaining today. So let me see some takeaways. The macro is helping us. The macro is supportive. Still 70,000 units under supply. The market is going to be here. Sorry if some of you disagree, but the operational progress in 2017 of this company, as CEO, I qualified it as excellent. We are on the top of the things that we have mentioned. We will manage them. But the company has, it's really strong, and there is no one out there in this market with 8,300 active sites, with a very clear revenue visibility, and with a clear visibility on 2018, although the things that we have mentioned. Yes, it's a business that control of the timings has a number of risks, and the cut-off day has these distractions. We confirm that we can increase the run rate to 4,000 units per year. It's going to already happen for sure in 2020. It's not an operational bottleneck, and that's going to put additional little pressure in our acquisition side, because we think obviously we will need to buy a little bit more. We reprofile 2019. We think it's the consequence of the things that I have been trying to explain in connection with the licensing, with the redesigning, but also because we think it's the way to capture, to have the best cost control, and to capture maximum HPA. And finally, and regarding 2018, we have a strong visibility. All the construction works are up and running. All of them have the target, except for one, deep in Marbella, La Cañada, that the license has arrived. It's arriving now. The guidance on that, it's clear, a lot of pressure to the teams. Hopefully they will be Q4 deliveries, but maybe they are Q1 2019 deliveries. Is that an issue? From a valuation perspective, no. From a way of capturing value, no. From a cut-off day, yes. And we know that as CEO of this company, my commitment and my reliability is based on delivery.
Thank you, Juan. As anticipated at the beginning, we'll now take a couple of minutes to sort through the questions that keep coming. I invite you to keep on sending them. And in a couple of minutes, we'll start addressing them all. Thank you.
Okay, I'm just trying to, I'm seeing that maybe some of these questions, hopefully, I'm seeing that some of them have arrived prior. I think that my view, I'm trying to revisit them, and I think most of them, one way or other, have been already answered, but let me try to emphasize some of the points. Okay, regarding licensing delays, rationale, when we know it, when you know it, obviously it's our job. We need to deal with the licensing. The rationale behind the reasons why the licenses are delayed are different. My view, the most important reason is that a very significant part of the 80,000 units are really concentrated in the same municipalities. The internal teams were not ready for that. And honestly, they say that they have 10 files and that they have one person and that they have asked to their boss to another person. These guys do not have the intensity that you have on your works or we have in our works. I think that it's a matter of the capacity installed at the public administration. It's not sufficient. When we have visibility about when a license is going to be delayed or not, it's, honestly speaking, it's very tricky. And I think that in this, the company's on top of trying to even improve that visibility on when we see that there is a risk or not. I don't want to use it as an excuse, but it's quite frequent that you are expecting a license that they are saying yes, and apparently everything is on track, and suddenly they say that they need another report of I don't know what And where is it? It's not in any regulation, but they are just taking additional time. Other times, it's simply that they are not in a position to review your file after until the month number 5. And it's very clear that there are regions in Spain that work much better. I would say that the example could be the north of Spain. And there are regions of Spain that are the worst. Probably the most obvious is the south of Spain. And you have regions that, honestly speaking, it's the municipalities around Madrid and Barcelona that it depends a lot. But I would say that for sure, 50% of the municipalities that we are dealing with are underperforming. And probably with a 50% that probably brings some explanation on that. When we have visibility, it's a tough answer. It's a tough answer. What we are doing now, it's in our due diligence acquisitions, we are just not buying in those municipalities that we know that the perspective is very wrong. My personal feeling, I don't know if I'm going very naive, is that the public administration is understanding the situation. Every time there is more pressure everywhere, I think that you see everywhere, in every forum, everyone saying this. Hopefully at some momentum these guys will be a little bit. So I'm seeing that it should go in a better way than it's today. You see some municipalities that they bring new people, but let's see what happens. Regarding guidance, and you say of the 4,000 units, yes, I'm very comfortable. I think that the company, the team, the 90 sites, how we are being able to deal with the 90 sites, how the company is making progress. This company is very robust. This company, operationally speaking, is very robust. We have the privilege of having 90 sites out there. We have the privilege of really thinking about the issues that this business is this business. I mean, I don't want to use it as excuse, but the timing control is the timing control that we can have. We are being tremendously reliable when we have the license until the day that we deliver. Our construction activity, our operational construction team, is doing an exceptional job. So I would say that yes, we are doing, I'm very comfortable with the 4,000 guidance, and I think that as the consolidation is evolving, I think that we will be there. Regarding non-fully permitted acquisitions, let me emphasize it and make it very clear. I think that these are exceptional needs. If we are able to control non-fully permitted land at the margins that we want, having visibility on our pipeline of 21, 22, 23, with a very limited deploy of capital, this is an exceptional rule. But please, no one gets confused. We are not taking non-fully permitted risk. I have been very consistent since the IPO, explaining that we have worked a lot in the strategic land concept. It's almost here. These are good news. Regarding cost inflation, what confidence I am, it's going to be under pressure the next 12 months. It's one of the things that we are listening everywhere. I think that we need to take advantage of our strong position in the market of being Neinor. We are working and we are on the top of trying to deal with our construction companies just to optimize designs. I think that the critical point here, it's at the project phase. It is transitional in my sense. Can I promise it? Not, but it's quite obvious. I think in Spain there is a lot of capacity installed, as we have traditionally had. And my view is that 18 is going to be tough. Neinor is going to be able to handle it in very in due manner. I'm seeing that from a HPA perspective, it's stronger than the cost inflation, and it's one of the reasons for the cost inflation, by the way, because the construction companies also want to be part of this good market momentum. But I think that we will handle it as we are handling it until now. we will be able to handle it. I think that the worst momentum probably has been these last 6 months, and Neynor has successfully dealt with it. I think that all these have been already answered. What else we have here, Juan? Okay, no. There's another question I'm seeing here about the strategic land. What percentage of our overall land bank portfolio is going to be? I think that obviously we need to buy land for this, for keep launching, to just to be refeeding our 4,000 units per year. So a significant part must be devoted to fully permitted land ready to build. The land acquisition that we have closed today in the Notary Public will be launched immediately. So I would say that it should not be, in any case, more than 10% of our capital employed. The deals that we are now working on, it's 200 million. With that disbursement of 10%, we will be deploying 20 million for a land bank of 200 million of a very good land located in Madrid, in Barcelona, in the Basque Country, in the south of Spain. So I think that this is the way that we are seeing it, but should not be critical. In this sense, very good question. Who is paying the capex in connection with the urbanization works? The seller. The seller. It's a matter of discussing the price, where it is. And by the way, the urbanization cost is good news, because if you are under the urbanization cost, means that the land is fully permitted, or it's almost, it's in the way of being fully permitted. But the deals, it will depend on the deal. We can be open-minded to close, assuming the urbanization cost is discounted from the price, as we have always done. Basically, if we are under the discussion of who pays urbanization, that means that the land it's on the track to be ready to build, so that's good news. But in the deal that I have in the top of my mind right now, the seller is paying it. But I could be open to discuss in the other deals in a different way. The 29% margins that we are disclosing in that, obviously, whatever extra HPA that we are able to capture onwards is not considered there. So I see the market, if it continues outperforming, as I expect that it's going to be the case this year, obviously those margins will benefit of any extra HPA that, obviously, it's above the guidance that we have given of 3.8% in our business plan. So that obviously would be extra margin. What we are going to do in the future, if you are happy, and we will be on the road during the following weeks, and you let us know, please, if you are happy with this way of disclosing the HPA, just seeing it as extra revenue to our numbers, and another side, an HPA analysis more technical. You have a very good question here regarding our timing of the 29 to 32 weeks, how we are seeing it with these circumstances. This is a very good question, okay? We are in the top of it. Honestly speaking, if you know the average, it's more in the range of the 36, 35, 36, if we see the blended of what's going on today. But we are on the top of it. What we are trying to do is to launch before, and we have implemented in the company what we call, for those of you that have been very familiar with us, now we have a pre-first go. So prior to the first go, what we are trying is to anticipate work to try to continue on the 29 to 32. So yes, it is true. We are seeing with today's circumstances because of the licensing, that the blended could be more in the range of the 35-36. But as a company, one of the things that we need to do is to come back to the 29-32 in different manners. We have implemented the pre-first go. We are implementing a number of different operational measures that allows us not to have further delays on a business that on its. So I think that our challenge is to be able to come back to those 29-32. But yes, it's a very fair question. If we see the average today, should be more in the 35-36. One good question, fair question. I read it exactly as you mentioned it. Did the management know the issues with licensing delays before the main shareholder exit the company? Okay. This is exactly what the question is, and in the transparent manner, I want to explain it as it is. The licensing issues have been here always. The licensing issues, I think that I have been with you, hopefully a lot of you have been with me in our one-to-one meetings and so on. I have always emphasized that this is our headache. So has always been here, and was here before. Before the shareholder, say when the shareholder even bought the company, during all the process at the IPO and after the IPO. It is true that the consequence of the recovery of the market, the installed capacity of the public government now. It's making it harder. Our assumption in the business plan was 6 months. That is not bad. And reality in certain municipalities is going beyond that. We have been dealing with that. We deal with that on a project-by-project basis. I think that each and every report of this company since the very beginning has always explained that that the timings had a plus minus 6 months precisely because we know that this is the reality of this business. But again, it's not an excuse and it's our job to make it happen in the timings committed. I think that one way or other we have gone. Regarding the legacy, I see one question regarding the legacy. I think that the legacy, honestly speaking, it's 85 million book value. I want to get rid of it. Obviously, the 85 million out of 650 million are not the best. It's quite obvious. I think that we have repriced it once and again. But it's here, it's not about margin. I'm even prepared to take out if necessary. I'm going to get rid of it in 2018. I think that the valuation, the external valuation, it's 107. In 85 I signed now. We are going to work to the best optimization of the legacy. But I think that I want it out of the balance sheet and out of everything. And regarding the servicing that you ask also here, again, in my opinion, it's an upside of this company. You know, from the team allocated to servicing, it's very clear. It's not distracting our company. It's a 16-plus million EBITDA contract. We have spoken about the NAV. I don't know what value you want to add to that, but has value. It gives us optionality. You will hopefully soon see new demonstrations of that optionality. And it's a clear upside and a strength of this company compared to any other company. And we have a very clear allocation of the team. So legacy, we will get rid of it as soon as possible. And the other side, on the servicing, it's a clear strength of the company. Yeah, very good question regarding, and just to clarify this licensing concept, okay? Very good question. Just for everyone be on the same page. Our land bank is ready to build. So there is no risk on our land bank. Okay, that's important. It's one of the clear strengths of our 12,500 unit land bank. It's ready to build. Here there is nothing about licensing that we are discussing now. Second momentum, when we have the design, the project ready to begin works, we need a license from the municipality. This is the bottleneck. We cannot begin work. Our construction company cannot begin the work until we have that license. This is all we are discussing here. We are under the tension waiting for that municipality to give me the license. Once I have the license, I begin to have very solid visibility. Obviously, in a business like ours, we have an 18, 20, 22, 24 month construction program in front of us. Challenging also, but the company is showing excellent capacity to perform. And once I have finished all the construction, once the apartment is ready to be delivered to the client, we need another authorization, another license. This also takes 2, 3, but can be even 6 months in some time. So, why I put in front of you the challenge of 2018, that we are being able to manage it very well, is because all the construction I see that are going in due manner, but it's a Q4 termination, and I will go to the municipality and say, hey, give me the license to deliver the units. What I'm doing, we are already working on it. One of the things that I have not said of how we are in the top of it, I'm visiting each and every municipality. It's one of my top jobs now. Mine, Juan. I'm on the road every day seeing municipalities just to make sure that we can make it as fluent as possible. So I have the big, big risk to begin construction works. Another risk, timing risk, it's when we finish that we need the certificate that allows you to deliver the home to the client. This is what we try to control, what we try to be on the top of it, but that gives to this business and to this ramp up a cut-off date. So now, one of the learnings, 8,300 units, already going on 3 years in advance to the finish of the 2020. To be able to deal with these delays in the better possible manner. Okay? I think that one way or other, we are going to be with some of you these days. I think that you are visiting this afternoon. Afterwards, we are in the road. I think that we are going to be probably in all of the countries, and more than happy, more than open. For this team and for myself, I can, it's fully committed. Fully proud of Neinor 2017 performance, a lot of things to do, a tremendous first mover advantage, many things happening, very strong company, but we need to build your reliability, your trust, and the ramp up, it's a cut-off date problem that will allow this company to capture more margin. Thank you very much, at your disposal, and hopefully we will be able to keep continue with your trust.
Thank you, Juan. At this time, we'll finish the call. There are a number of detailed parts we will touch with Jordi later on, and we will reply to anyone that whose question is not, they don't feel it's answered. Thank you very much, operator. We are done.